This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all-sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this first Monday of 2015. Glad to have you along with us. We've got a very jam-packed show today because it is our Husker Roundtable. We do one at the beginning of the football season, and then we do one at the end to kind of put a wrap on it. Steve Sipple, Sean Callahan, going to join us on the show today, as well as Mike Babcock. At the end of the show, we'll preview the River City Hunting and Fishing Expo, and joining us for that will be Tom Hamilton, of course, out in Council Bluffs. So we will talk with him about some of the great displays, speakers, seminars that'll be going on next weekend. And Jimmy, how was your weekend?
Hey, really good, Doug. How about yourself?
It was fine.
Good.
It was fine. Dallas won.
Dallas did win. Dallas, Dallas had a nice comeback. I thought Baltimore played well. I thought Flacco played well. Really, the Carolina game was a fun game to watch. Did you watch any of that, or were you busy?
Yeah, I saw some of that too.
Yeah,
and Arizona just—I feel bad for the teams that got beat because of the injuries. Arizona got one of the reasons they got beat was because of the injuries.
No doubt. How
that quarterback even is on an NFL roster. What does that say, though, Jimmy? When you can't you think there's all this talent in college football and there's so few spots and these guys could have been on a roster for 10, 12 years, some of these backups. Oh, boy. You can't find me 100 quarterbacks capable of throwing an NFL football on NFL play?
Well, you know what's interesting? I'll bet if you're honest about it, he's not in the top 100. Because if everybody's three deep at the quarterback spot, you know, there's 90 of them right there. And he's not three deep. He's four deep. You know, so, I mean, when you look at that, you know, so he's probably in the top 90 quarterbacks in the NFL. And you know, he did what he tried to do. He didn't get him in a lot of trouble. You know what I mean? He didn't try to do some things that were going to get him a lot of trouble.
Their defense couldn't do anything. He was terrible.
Okay.
He was terrible. Don't be polite on this one.
All right.
He's a professional. He was terrible. Arizona had zero chance to win unless their defense scored all the points. And they did get him one. And because the Dallas game was the last game yesterday and everybody hates the Cowboys, we'll make a brief statement because I'm not getting into it for a whole hour. I'll take you back to the first half and show you the bad calls that went against Dallas, and you can give me the bang-bang play. If this whole Dez Bryant thing this morning has me blown away, yes, keep your butt off the field, Dez. But just if it was Detroit that supposedly got hosed by the call, would you feel differently? You wouldn't want the game decided by one of your guys stepping on the field, okay? Either way, I wouldn't. If Detroit was in the same situation and Sue would have came out or fill in the blank, I wouldn't have wanted them penalized 15 yards. You talk about in your officiating, once in a while you got to use your noggin. I think they were using their noggin there. This is the fourth quarter. Now, if it's the first quarter, that's a whole different situation probably. But it's the fourth quarter, heat of the moment. Don't over-officiate.
You know, in the NFL, too, football, and even in NCAA, they do pick up flags. That's something you can't do in some other sports. you know, you can't pick up some stuff, but they do pick up some flags. We're talking about the pass interference call, I think, was the one that was the most controversial because the guy didn't turn around to play the ball at all, which is interference in some leagues. But in the NFL, that was a, you know, the more times you look at it, it was never really clear. It was one, though, that, you know, you and I have talked about this. Don't change a call unless you have a tremendous amount of evidence. You know, if we want the officials to officiate. So when they make a call on the goal line and they call it a touchdown and you don't have enough evidence to turn it around, then you're going to have to stick with the call on the field. And I think they probably should have stuck with the call on the field. They did not. And it just wasn't clearly one way or the other.
And as a Dallas Cowboy fan, I will say it was nice that one went our way.
There you go.
Usually it always seems like it happens against you. This time it happened for Dallas Cowboy fans. And I know there are a lot of Cowboy haters out there. And that's just kind of what spawns this a little bit more. If that happened in the Arizona-Carolina game, nobody cares. It's already, you talk about it, it's over. But it was the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, if that happened to Carolina against Seattle this week, and the call goes Seattle's way, people are going to be disappointed, that, you know, because of Carolina, a team that was, what, you know, 5-9-1 or whatever they are, you know, to get into the playoffs. But good point, Doug. But I clearly do not think that was pass interference if they don't throw their flag the first time. You know,
you can go with the hole that they're talking about when he broke off the line. But
right.
Yeah. Here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac and Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. 2015 Chevy Colorados have arrived. The 2015 Motor Trend Truck of the Year, as I'm sure many of you saw while watching and listening to the NFL games this weekend. You can visit thinkmidway.com to see their full selection. All of the trucks, SUVs, new and pre-owned cars are there for you to view or just stop by and see them. South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, Midway. It's a better way. We'll be back with our Husker Roundtable recapping the coaching changes. The staff is pretty much set. Where Nebraska goes from here as we get ready for 2015 and put a cap on 2014. Sean Callahan, Mike Babcock, Steve Sipple when we return.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll stay with considerable cloud cover across the area today with a high temperature up in the lower 20s. South winds will meanwhile stay from 10 to 20 miles per hour. For tonight, we'll head down to 8 for a low. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Right now, 9 above.
good morning again, everyone. Doug and Daddy's show rolling on here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Doug Duda, Jim Langan, glad to have you in on this Monday. Congratulations to UNK. The men knocked off the defending national champions from Central Missouri, ranked 8th in the country on Saturday, 65-64. The men and women are home again tonight for some Monday night basketball. Because of the way the new year fell, instead of Thursday-Saturday, they're doing it Saturday-Monday, 5:30, 7:30 for Missouri Western coming in tonight. Plus, the Husker men's basketball team will be at Iowa, 8:05. You can hear it on the Breeze, 94.5, and the Big Ten Network. We'll televise it. Plus, here on ESPN, Notre Dame, North Carolina, big-time ACC basketball tonight at 6 o'clock, right after the Hale Varsity program. Time now to put a wrap on 2014 as we're 1 week away from the national championship game and look at 2015. Our TNL Big Red Report and Big Red Roundtable brought to you by TNL Irrigation Systems, proven technology that's easier on you for a lifetime. Mike Babcock of Hale Varsity, Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star, Sean Callahan of Husker Online, always so gracious with their time. And Happy New Year, everybody. Good morning.
Happy New Year.
Great to have you guys along with us as we get ready for the start of a spring ball conditioning here just a week away. But I guess let's start off putting a wrap on 2014. And, Mike, I'll start with you. We've been through this long enough that it has been so long that Nebraska didn't have to get rid of coaches. It's obviously the story of the year. Everything seemed to be in great shape, even at 8-1, and things apparently fell apart at Wisconsin. What was different about this one than maybe the last two firings and hirings?
Well, you know, that's a good question, Doug. And when you say put a wrap on the season, I thought about Bill Callahan's comment his first year after the Huskers lost to Colorado, and he said it's one game in one season. Let's move on. And I think people were appalled by that comment. With Nebraska, I don't think he ever put a wrap on anything. It's always there. So the 2014 season is probably always going to be with us. But I think what was different at the end of this one was just Sean Eichhorst had been the athletic director for a full year and into a second year and had an opportunity to evaluate and decided that on some level that Bo just didn't represent the brand the way he wanted, and certainly the certain games, obvious games, Nebraska just didn't perform well in those games, and as a result, I think it added up to something that probably needed to be done.
Sip, now that we've had about a month to kind of digest all of this, do you feel that the athletic department was just waiting for any reason to make a coaching change and that Bo would have had to been playing this next week to kind of shut people up?
Oh, I don't know if I'd go that far. I mean, I think I see where you're going with that, and I wonder, you know, I don't know that 10-2, for instance, would have been good enough.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, maybe a Big Ten title. I think a Big Ten title would have been good enough. I think it was going to be awfully difficult for those guys to retain their jobs in retrospect. But on the other hand, you know, Pelini and his staff in Nebraska, you know, as a whole, you know, it left the door open when it lost at Wisconsin by that score and the way that loss transpired. And then, of course, losing at home in Minnesota, you know, pushed the door open even more. So, you know, I get it. I mean, here's the thing. When it comes down to it, you can build strong cases on both sides. So, we can talk and talk, but that's the bottom line to me. Both sides of the there's two sides to it, and both can make a pretty strong case. And Sean went with what he feels is right, and I respect that.
Speaking of Sean Callahan, Husker Online, has anything changed in your opinion, Sean, here in the last month? We're even seeing the Big Ten do well in bowl games, which may or may not make us think that the conference was even stronger this year. There's going to be some bright things with Mike Riley coming in, but it sure seemed like Nebraska took it on the chin, national perception, firing another 9-win coach.
Yeah, I will say, though, I think the damage, though, Nebraska has suffered to their brand in the blowout losses is why Bo Pelini was fired. It's not about the win totals, because you look at what Nebraska has to work with, especially in that Western Division. They had the biggest stadium, the most money, the most tradition. They should win 9 games. When you look at their peers they're going against, they have the best of everything to work with, and they just weren't able to get it done in the games that mattered. And that's what Sean Ikor said. He said Bo Pelini won a bunch of games here, but when the games that mattered, he didn't win. And when he lost, he didn't just lose. They got blown out. I think when you go back and look at that Holiday Bowl, the way Nebraska lost 45-42, you know, if you're going to lose a big game, that's how you want to go down, where you know your team didn't quit, you didn't get embarrassed. And that was a lot. Even though they lost that game, you could just sense there was a lot of pride knowing that Nebraska was right there and almost beat a team like USC, instead of maybe what happened at Wisconsin, where it just came unraveled. And you know, you get embarrassed and you just get hammered on Twitter by national analysts. You get hammered, you know, in national columns. And, you know, you look at Nebraska football since the end of the 2001 season, they have only been ranked in the top 5 for a total of 1 week. And you start to think about how long that was, that Rose Bowl. That's quite some time ago.
Hey, Jim Langan here, and I'm going to direct this. I'm going to do this to Steve Sipple. I'm going to ask you first, but anybody else can pipe in if they want to at any time. After the 2013 season, one of the biggest weaknesses we had was the punt return team. That was something we had to fix. And I thought we did a great job of fixing it. It was almost a complete turnaround. We were one of the better teams in the nation on punt returns and the way we turned that around, because we were so poor the year before. But the biggest disappointment I saw was our run defense, that we did not improve on that. Your thoughts?
I'll get to your question in a second. I wanted to, and Sean knows this, but he said something that struck a chord with me. And Sean Ikor said it when he announced the firing of Bo, the games that matter line. There's never been a game played over there at Memorial Stadium that didn't matter, okay? They all matter, especially if you lose. So, I mean, when you talk about he didn't win the games that matter, he won a lot of games that matter because they all matter. I hate it when I hear that line. You don't play games over there that don't matter. So your question about the run defense, it's perplexing. In some ways, it's perplexing. I go back to the Wisconsin game. It wasn't what Wisconsin didn't do anything that was, you know, they didn't come up with this scheme that was so confusing that caught Nebraska off guard. I mean, a lot of it was just the tackle hook the end, and Melvin Gordon, you know, ran around the end and got a good matchup one-on-one against a guy who couldn't tackle him. You know, but you put Melvin Gordon one-on-one against a corner or a safety, he's probably going to win that battle a lot. But, you know, Nebraska, how can it give up 16.3 yards per carry, over 25 carries to Melvin Gordon? And then Melvin Gordon come back against Ohio State and have very limited success. I don't know why Nebraska and why Bo, you know, who was in charge of the defense, was unable to, you know, shore up that part of the game better. If I knew that, you know, if I knew that, I would surely think Bo would know that, and he'd probably still be coaching here. You know, I don't pretend to understand it. Do they? You know, the two things you can point at, though, right away, are clearly Big Ten teams that had diagnosed Bo's system very well, and also Nebraska came up short talent-wise at linebacker, and then got hit by injuries. So those would be two things I'd point out right away.
Husker Roundtable here on the Doug and Daddy Show, putting a wrap on this past season with Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal star, Sean Callahan, Husker Online, Mike Babcock of Hale Varsity. And Mike, I'm afraid, as we all tend to do, as we get older and think of Nebraska football as a whole, it will just go down as the year that Bo Pelini lost his job, and there weren't a lot of seniors on this team, but two of the best football players in the history of Nebraska, Amir Abdullah and Kenny Bell, and maybe some of those accomplishments will maybe not be seen in the light that they should have.
Yeah, you know, probably, although just take the example of Amir Abdullah. I mean, whenever you discuss the great running backs in Husker history, his name's going to be in there. I mean, he established himself, and it's kind of ironic, I think, when you look at the recruiting class he came in with, and, you know, he was probably the third back in that group, you know, Green and Hurd, and then there was Amir, and he kind of he worked himself into what he was, and so I have a tremendous amount of respect for him as a player and as a person, you know, and so I don't think that people are going to overlook what he accomplished. Probably more likely, people are going to look and say, you know, what if he'd have been healthy completely through there? Where would he have been? But he pushed through that thing, and you know, Kenny Bell, almost established his own brand when he was here, social media and the whole thing, and I don't know that he'll be overlooked either from that standpoint, because again, I don't think, as I said earlier, every season is always with Husker fans. You know, you never put a rap on anything. I think people remember that sort of thing. And I think they'll remember both of those players very fondly, and will acknowledge what they were able to accomplish.
Sean, I don't think anybody was quite sure how the bowl game would play out. I think all Nebraska fans, outside of not quite finishing it, that would have been perfect, winning the game, sending all these guys out. They sure handled it in a class way. But as we look ahead towards next year, and if you want to comment on that, go ahead. But I think, as people ask me what you think Nebraska's record's going to be next year, as we'll get that question a million times, I pointed at quarterback this year. I'm going to point at running back next year. I don't care who goes in there, Cross, newbie. You look at some of the new guys like Taylor Wilbon. Maybe you've got an extra name or two for me. I think Nebraska is going to need a lot of help in that area.
Yeah, I would be really surprised if we don't see more of a by-committee approach next year. I just don't know if one of those guys is good enough to be the main guy. I mean, in a perfect world, you'd get about, you know, two of those guys around 1,000 yards or 800 yards or something, where, you know, you divide that up. And whether that's – I think Amani Cross, it's safe to say he's going to probably be one of those two guys. And will a newbie or a Wilbon or a Taylor – step in there and be that other guy. But that, to me, is the biggest question right now. They have a veteran offensive line coming back. They lose Kenny Bell, but they have Jamal Turner returning. They've got a lot of skill players back other than a running back position. But, you know, the interesting thing will just be how that quarterback deal plays out. I know everybody thinks it's going to be this great battle, but you still have to lean towards Tommy Armstrong. He has 21 career starts. And the way he played the last two games against Iowa and USC, he played maybe the best football we've seen at times in those two games. And if you were asking me today, I'd still lean towards Tommy Armstrong, just because Riker Fife and Johnny Stanton and the other guys don't have the game experience in 21 starts. That's a significant advantage to have over the other guys.
You know, guys, this year we were looking at bowl games and the scores of these games. Huh. And, you know, and I mean, we're talking about no matter what league you're in, the high scoring of these football games. What do you think Nebraska needs to do? Do they need to outscore people now? Or do they try to find a defense that can hold people under 20 points? And I guess, Mike, I'll go with you on that one.
Well, yeah, Jim, I think that these things go in cycles in college football, and probably more so now with the reduced scholarship numbers, and in Nebraska's case, you're getting fewer guys walking on for obvious reasons. But yeah, offense seems to dominate. I thought the same thing as I've watched these bowl games, and probably the the good example was the Michigan State Baylor thing. I was at a point where I'm not going to watch this anymore. I'm going to turn it to one of the other games because this isn't going to be. And then the next thing I know, the thing has turned around at the end. I think you have to outscore people, but I do think these things go in cycles to some extent. But when you have seven-on-seven things in the summer and you guys working with quarterback coaches and really the emphasis on offense, I think you got to be able to – I mean, I'm not saying you don't have to have a good defense, but I think you're going to have to be able to score points, and that's what we're seeing. That's what we saw in the two playoff games. You got to be able to score points, and so I think that's going to be the emphasis for the time being.
Mike Babcock, Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple with us here on our Big Red Roundtable on the Doug and Daddy Show on this first Monday of 2015. Sip, Coach Riley has pretty much his entire coaching staff in place. They seem to be from all over the place, but at one point or another, they seem to have been with Coach Riley, if not at Oregon State, somewhere along the way. Your impressions of what you're seeing?
Just impressions. I mean, I don't know too much about these guys. I don't want to overdo it on my impressions because I haven't seen them on the field. I haven't seen them in the course of a season. There's just not much to go on except sitting in my office and reading their bio, and seeing, what maybe reading their recruiting bio. But I guess what I'd say is there's something to be said for, I mean, what have we always said at Nebraska for so long? We always said we value continuity on the coaching staff. And you're going to get that. Like you said, with four or five of these guys, Riley has a long history for instance, in Mark Banker's case, going back to San Diego with the Chargers, 1999 through 01. So I like continuity. I like his, I know people kind of, they snicker at it a little bit, it seems like, but he says that he likes to hire guys where, you like working with them every day. It's a hours intensive job. You're working long hours and it's high pressure. So you want to be around guys you like. And that's important to Coach Riley. And I get that. I see that. I totally understand that. I'm surprised people, I've talked to some people who say, oh great, he's got a bunch of guys he likes. Well, I do think that's important. So my impression of it, it's a good, solid staff, but I won't make any, in my mind, what I would deem meaningful judgments probably until after the first season of seeing them and talking to them.
Sean, kind of follow up on that, your impressions, and folks want to know how recruiting is setting. We come over that holidays, it's usually pretty quiet, but how did this affect recruiting, positive, negative? Where are we at right now?
Well, the nice thing is they don't have a big class to fill. I mean, technically, 17, 18 guys, and they have 13 guys committed. They still would like to get another offensive lineman. If they could get a quarterback, a quality guy, they're going to take a quarterback. They would love to get another defensive end. The main thing is retaining the guys they have, though, and they've done a really good job. I think the big ones are those Davis twins, and I'm pretty confident that they're going to end up sticking with Nebraska. They've said and done all the right things. These kids have wanted to be at Nebraska from the get-go, and basically you're bringing in two more Malik Collins. I mean, these guys are both 6'3", 280, 290. They can move, they can run, and that would really solidify the defensive tackle position for years to come when you can bring two of those guys in. But I'm going to be excited. I know a lot of the new staff got in the office today. A lot of them got in last night, a lot of the support staff people and everybody. So I would think this week there's going to be a lot of movement and a lot of things kind of popping up in the recruiting world, and then they'll be able to go out on the road next Thursday, January 15th. That's when the dead period ends. And I would expect an all-out assault on the road with as many coaches out as possible. I believe they can pretty much, you can have all nine guys out with Mike Riley. You can have 10 guys out, and I would be surprised what if they had all those guys. I don't think they'll try to really take advantage of these last couple weeks in recruiting and even get a jump start on 2016.
Yeah, hey, Sean, this is for you. Hey, the BYU game, the Miami of Florida game, the non-conference schedule we have this year, what do you think is going to take place there? What do you think is going to happen with these games? Can we beat BYU? Can we go on the road and beat Miami of Florida?
Well, I think the timing of BYU, if you're Nebraska, you like that. You're at home. It's the very first game of a new staff. You know they're not going to do everything identical to Oregon State. It kind of reminds me of that opener in 2002 when Bo Pelini played his first game as defensive coordinator against Les Miles and what's the guy's name at Oklahoma? Gundy was the coordinator. They came into Lincoln with a very good team, but they didn't know what kind of defense Bo Pelini was going to run. And Nebraska stole the win from a pretty good Oklahoma State team that year. That was Les Miles' last team there before he went to LSU. So I think it's a similar type of deal for when you look at that opener. I think the timing is good because BYU is going to be preparing for every possible formation and look, not knowing what they're going to see for sure with a new staff. You know, as far as the other game, Miami, on the road, you know that's going to be tough. That kid, that quarterback, broke a freshman record for Miami this year for passing yards. I believe it was an ACC freshman record as well. And you know that Brad Kaya is going to only be better. And Miami has athletes. And that will either be a night game down there, which you know will be a tough atmosphere, or it could be an afternoon game, and it will be probably 95 degrees in the Florida sun. So that game in Miami will definitely be one of the tougher, I think, road tests Nebraska's had in the non-conference in quite some time.
And by then, there could be another ESPN 30 for 30 on Miami football. We're glad to have on the Big Red Report in our Big Red Roundtable today Mike Babcock, Steve Sipple, Sean Callahan. We're sitting here in January. I'll get you guys' takes. You cover them basically every day, all 365 days. Sip, we'll start with you. Outside of the coaching, because everything, as you said, is going to be new for us to learn, but on the field, personnel coming back, personnel coming in, what are you going to be looking at when spring ball starts? I guess biggest question in your mind, and I'll ask it for everybody, but we'll start with you, Sip, as we head into 2015.
Well, you know what? I'm not going to break any new ground here. I know you're paying me a lot, but I'm going to be looking at the quarterbacks. And Sean, I was glad to hear Sean say what he did, by the way, because I hear so much. Well, you know, that you know, by nature, that position gets so much criticism. But Tommy's 16-5, and Sean was right. He played really well. Well, I mean, he was really clutch against Iowa. Didn't play well for a lot of that game for, you know, half of it for sure, but came on strong late, and then, you know, didn't play well in the second quarter against USC, but was really good pretty much beside that. I like Tommy a lot, and I think, you know, I'd like to see Mike Riley mold that offense around him, because I think there is a lot to work with, and I completely agree with Sean in that game experience is gigantic. I mean, it is, you can't, it's hard to quantify, but, you know, you want to start over with a new guy who hasn't been out there. I don't know. I think you have a guy with a good arm, with a pretty good, you know, who understands the passing game and has a lot of room to grow. And I think that Riley can, I think there's still a lot that Riley can do with Armstrong. So I'm really, really interested in that. You touched on the running backs. And then I don't know what you're going to do at linebacker, but you got to get better there. You got to figure something out. You know, maybe a lot of that will depend on Josh Manderis' development. Of course, you're losing Trevor Roach and you're losing Zaire Anderson, good players. So they got to figure something out at that position. And there's not a lot. I mean, they don't have a lot of depth there. There's just not a lot that covered, and what you talked about teams that are so good now offensively, and what do you see? If you have a weakness, teams seize on it. It's like sharks in blood. They just seize on it, and teams will continue to do that against Nebraska.
Sean, Sip covered a lot of ground there. Anything to add?
I, I, think, you know, it's going to be fun to watch the spring and fall camp. Practices are more than likely going to be open for the media. Not much is going to be hidden. I think we're going to have a really good idea of what they're doing, what they're going to have to work with, and it won't be this veil of secrecy where a football practice and what's going on at certain position battles is some world secret. You know, I think we'll know what Nebraska has. We'll know what this quarterback battle is like. I think the spring game is going to have a huge crowd. 70, 80,000 is my guess if you had asked me today, because there's just going to be so much intrigue to see how this thing plays out. What I'm most interested in, though, is Mike Riley has 20 years head coaching experience underneath his belt. You look at Nebraska's previous three, they were all either first-time head coaches or first-time college head coaches. And I just think that experience he brings to the table with an experienced support staff, that's going to make a difference. So that was one area where Bo just didn't have. You know, he just didn't – I don't think he was as good at running all the behind-the-scenes administrational things you need to do at a place like Nebraska. And a lot of that stuff does make a difference in how you run your program. And I think Mike Riley and his guys, just from everything I've seen and heard in a month, they know what they're doing. And there's a reason why he's bringing – so many guys he knows and hiring guys from other schools to come here, because he wants to do things a different way here, and you know, he's got a lot of experience doing it, and I'm not going to criticize that, because he's been doing this a heck of a lot longer than any of us, and I think he's got a plan, and he knows exactly what he's doing right now.
Mike, you've seen a lot of season openers and first practices and things like that. What about 2015?
Well, I'll be interested in the spring how Mike Riley's open practice policy, how he handles it when about three or four dozen reporters show up the first day at an open practice, and see if he changes his mind.
Instead
about
of the two or three that show up at Oregon yeah. State?
Yeah, instead of the two or three, it's a whole different dynamic here. And I think you'll find out a little bit about how he's going to approach things. You know, I agree with Sip, and I agree with Sean. I found a long time ago that if I agree with those guys, that's pretty good. But, you know, I think the quarterback thing is significant to me, because it also is going to show us a little bit about what Mike Riley wants to do. And certainly the experience that Tommy Armstrong Jr. has at quarterback is going to hold him in good stead. Heck, going into the bowl game, if you would have told me he was going to throw the ball 51 times, I would have said, no, Nebraska's probably not going to be in that game. And I was impressed with the way he threw the ball, because I haven't been necessarily impressed with that over the course of time. But I'll be interested to see how the quarterback thing goes. And I really don't look any further than spring right now. I just want to see how just the dynamics of spring practice under the new coach and how he approaches things and how the competition goes at various positions, and certainly quarterback is one of those. Certainly linebacker is another one of those. It'll be nice to have Michael Rose Ivy back. I think he'll fit into the system pretty well. But those are probably areas that I would look for. And as I said, I wouldn't go any further than that. 78,000 at the spring game, that would be interesting. Heck, he might have 78,000 reporters at the first spring practice. You never know.
Last couple minutes here on our Husker Roundtable. And again, we appreciate Steve Sipple, Sean Callahan, and Mike Babcock. We did have a couple of questions roll in, Twitter and email. Mike, I'll ask you. He says, can you ask why the athletic director gives an extension to the coach and fires him the next year? This has happened twice now.
Yeah, you know, that's a good question, and I guess I would ask that question of the chancellor, because he probably signs off on the final thing. But yeah, that's a little bit. It shows, I guess, that from one point of view, that that the decision hadn't been made, and the evaluation continued through this season before he made the choice. So.
No, hey, let me chime
from that
in
standpoint,
here,
I guess it's
I think
a positive.
Sipple might have a better answer to this. Didn't Osborne Sipple sign off that extension and raise before he officially left office?
Yeah, he did. But the way I'd answer it is, I just think it's just something you do. I mean, it's almost. Here's why. Yeah, this is why I do it. Because if you don't do it, it kills recruiting. You know, if you don't, it gets out that there's no extension, no raise, and the guy's in trouble. So it's just almost a matter of, it's just a kind of a formality. It doesn't even, to me, doesn't even mean that much when I see it. I mean, you just, it's just something that you got to do for your program. The head coach benefits to a large degree, but I think it's more of a program move than anything.
But plus, you haven't made the decision yet. I mean, you're obviously going to give that guy, you're going to give the guy the money if you haven't made the decision and you want to continue to give him an opportunity with the recruiting.
Right, right.
Last minute here. Where are we at with the Avery Moss situation, Sean? Will we know something soon? Has it already been decided? What can you tell the folks?
Well, I believe that hearing is set to happen here any day now, but just talking to somebody tied to the Riley staff, you know, I'm not going to get my hopes up. I think there's a lot that needs to happen, and there might be more to the story that maybe we don't know. Trust me, if everything can happen, I know they would love to have Avery Moss because defensive end is a huge, huge position of need for this football team. They're going to move Freedom Akamundum to defensive end this spring. I can confirm that. But we, you know, they would love to get Avery Moss in there. You have Jack Gangwish and Greg McMullen returning, but I still think there's a lot of unknowns. What direction that's going to go?
All right, I'll wrap it up with this: a question that has kind of been bantered about on and off the program over the last month, and I don't know that there needs to be a long explanation. I think it's just a personal opinion, and we'll start with you, Sip. It's January 5th, 2015. Is Nebraska football better off than it was January 5th, 2014?
Wow. I'll say this. Excuse me. I don't think there's definitely a line of thinking that maybe a new start was needed. Now, could Bo Pelini, you know, kind of redefined himself, maybe. But he kind of had tried that. It, you know what? 7 years, maybe it was time. Maybe it was time to try a new direction. And I think, you know what? There's some, Bo Pelini might tell you that. And there's some guys on his staff that might acknowledge that. Of course, they thought they could get it done here. You always, as a competitor, think you can get it done in the end. But there's also, you know, a certain reality you have to face. And it was tough here. And I think it was going to be, continue to be difficult here for that staff because they were fighting a lot of internal issues. That's become pretty clear. It was already clear to a lot of us. And then, you know what? You were, you know, the fan base was pretty fractured. Now, that remains the case, so I don't know. But I'd say I lean towards yes. I think it's probably a little better off than it was.
Sean?
I do. I'll agree with Sip on this, just because I felt like, it. I don't want to say it was getting stale, but an apathy was beginning to build, and I really believe if you bring Bo Pelini back another year, that sellout streak next season would be in jeopardy. I believe that wholeheartedly. With the extra amount of seats they've added, 92,000 seats, you're talking one of every 18 people in the state has to be in that stadium to fill it, and that's a pretty high quota of people. And I just think when you look at it from that perspective, that is an important thing to Nebraska. And when people stop caring and just say, no, it is what it is, we lost another big game, that is something that they had to look at. And I felt like that's the direction it was going, and I could see it on my message board. The night of the Iowa game, when Nebraska won that game, there were people that were just literally upset Nebraska won because they thought it meant Bo Pelini was coming back another year. And, you know, I had people going after me saying that we should go after Bo Harder even though they won this game. And it just wasn't healthy. When fans are wanting the program to lose because they don't like the coach, you know, I just don't know if that's a guy or a direction you want to keep going in any longer.
Mike?
I'll preface what I have to say by the fact that people, as people know, I'm old, I'm resistant to change. I think Frank Solich should still be the coach. And we wouldn't be having this discussion in my mind. But But having said that, I agree with Sip and I agree with Sean. I think it will be, Nebraska football will be in a better place because of the things that have happened. And I think the key thing that Sean alluded to is that sellout streak and Memorial Stadium and the enthusiasm of the fans. I think that's a big thing. Now, and as Sip pointed out, it's still a fractured fan base, I think. But they have the opportunity that maybe Mike Riley can bring things together. So I think it'll be in a better place. But as I said earlier, I'm resistant to change. I'm old. Frank Solich needs to be the coach, and we wouldn't have to discuss this.
Well, and the one thing you want to say, too, here, it doesn't have to be a gloom and doom discussion. Bo did a good job here. He took over a program that we can all agree was not in horrible shape, but it wasn't going where you wanted it to go. And he did a good job of stabilizing it. And it's, and Riley's walking into a program that's pretty stabilized. So it's not all bad. And we'll just see if he can take it to another level. And I don't think it has to be a horrible thing for everybody.
Well, it should be an interesting ride. Nebraska not the only place with a new coach. Ohio State's playing for a national championship. When we get to Chicago this July, there could be a lot of positive things to talk about in a variety of some of the biggest programs, winningest programs in college football history. Mike Babcock, Hail Varsity, Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal Star, Sean Callahan, Husker Online. Continue to read them. Continue to listen to them. And, guys, the happiest of New Year's. We always appreciate all you do for the Doug and Daddy Show. Thanks for the time.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Steve, Sean, Mike, appreciate it. There's so many, you could talk for hours on Husker football about some of the things that are going to be going on out there, but Harbaugh coming into Michigan, a lot of the attention, and if Ohio State, even if they don't win, they're in the national championship, a lot of the attention is going to be on the Eastern Division because they have probably the better football teams, obviously, right now from top to bottom. But I think there's going to be a great chance for whoever in the West to just let's keep it down. Can Minnesota continue to do what they're doing? Will Wisconsin be okay with their new coach? I'm a little weirded out there. And can Nebraska, will Nebraska have enough talent to win the West next year? That's the big question. Doesn't matter how good the coaches are. Will they have the talent to do it?
Doug, I'll tell you what, when Callahan left, Pelini actually had a honeymoon period of a couple mm-hmm. of years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think no one has brought this up. I cannot believe. I know I've given a lot of people a lot of opportunities we talked to bring this point up. And when Bo Pelini was here, we played Kansas State, and it was for the championship that was going to see who was going to play Texas. You know, and we beat them 17-3. Three. Okay. Then we go down and play Texas, and we hold Texas to like 12 points. And then we go play, I think, Arizona in a bowl game and win 33-0. Now look at the points that were scored. And that Bo Pelini got a lot of credit for the defense and what they were doing. When you win 33-0 and 17-3, your defense is winning. We beat Oklahoma in Lincoln when they were ranked in the top 10 in the nation that year. And we beat them, and I think we beat them like 7-3 or 10-7. I don't have it right in front of me. But we were underdog by 7.5 points, and we won that game. Okay, we didn't beat anybody this year that we weren't supposed to beat. We were favored in every game, and then we lost a couple games, you know, and we ended the season 1-3. This was going to be hard for Bo. Bo was not in his honeymoon period anymore. I mean, this was going the other way. The only thing is, I don't know if this new guy's getting a honeymoon period.
I said it when they made the change before they even named the coach. It didn't matter who it was. They got to win. And they're just talking about that the program is not in horrible place. It's in a better place than it was when Bo took it over.
Just the defense. The defense is the thing that Bo, we thought he was going to fix. And when he got blown out, it wasn't getting blown out. Like when Tom Osborne got blown out, it was 22-0 by Miami in the mm-hmm. in the bowl games, or 21-3. I mean, it was never just 57-0 or 68-26 or those scores. But I think you're right. I think the defense, it's amazing to me, but I think we've got to get the defense fixed to some degree.
Hope you enjoyed our Big Red Roundtable. It's going to be up on our podcast, just like every Doug and Daddy show, just about 15 to 30 minutes after the program concludes at ESPN Superstation. SportsNation.com. Husker Football Talk brought to you by T&L Irrigation, proven technology that's easier on you for a lifetime. The River City Hunting, Fishing, RV, and Boat Expo is next weekend at the Mid-America Center. Tom Hamilton will join us to talk about it when we come back.
The first day, I couldn't even finish my push-ups.
Sarah Brunner is another CrossFit Archway success story.
They modified it to make it easier for me as a beginner. Every person that goes there cares that other people are there and really wants everyone to succeed. They're very encouraging. I feel kind of like a little family there. And a couple weeks ago, I realized I did 90 push-ups. I can do it now.
We're on Antelope Avenue in Kearney, or find us at CrossFitArchway.com.
I don't want people to be intimidated to try it. It's for everybody.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Crete & Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Crete & Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
Since the dawn of time, the land has been nurtured, first by the hands of nature and then by the hands of man. Farming is a way of life here. Today's farmer has a feel for the land, a knowing touch that shows in the riches of the harvest. And for years, they've depended on CHS Agri Service Center to help them. CHS is a locally owned and locally controlled, so the people behind the counters and on the phones are the people you've known for years, people you can rely on. There's a CHS Service Center near you, and always here at chsagri.com.
Show Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Hey, the Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill. Sports Bar and Grill gives you the best of both worlds 7 days a week, and they're ready to take care of you again throughout 2015 for the NFL playoffs, for the BCS. Well, it's not the BCS. It's the College Football Playoff National Championship game 1 week from today. All the NBA, NHL, and great television items. No matter what you want to watch, they've got them on for you, and you combine that with great food, your favorite beverage, and a whole lot more. It is the Kearney Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill. No one combines the best of both places like the Chicken Coop in downtown Kearney. And, of course, their lunch specials are served from 11 to 4 daily. On Monday, it's a steak sandwich with your choice of side, only $7.49 every afternoon. Long necks, draws, appetizers, specially priced just to get you through that afternoon. The Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, the best of both worlds in downtown Kearney. 888-455-ESPN. You can also tweet us at ESPN 1460-1550. And, of course, you can always email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. Jimmy had some friends that have been trying to ice fish. They do ice fish. They're not having a whole lot of success. Maybe they need some tips.
They're ice fishing in this weather.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey,
all around the area. But they're not doing well. I think they need some tips.
They're not doing well?
They're not catching much.
If I'm with them, we're not going to catch anything. I'll tell you what, I'm going to stay in the pickup or keep it started.
You should be in some of the huts that these guys have now, these ice houses. They're better than our houses. They're better than what you're at during the day. We welcome in Tom Hamilton from the River City Hunting, Fishing, RV, and Boat Expo. The Potawatomi Pheasants Forever put it on. We talk with Tom every year. It goes on in January. We'll have some tickets to give away. It's a very popular item, not only that it's going out to Mid-America Center with the free parking and all the great seminars and folks that can help you out anywhere from planning a trip to taking care of your gear and the kids and all that. But it's popular with our listeners as well. And, Tom, Happy New Year, man.
Same back at you.
Are we ready to go? I mean, we're still a weekend and a half away here.
Yes, but we're ready to go because, I mean, we've got so much stuff going on, you could come for 2 days.
Well, I know a lot of people like to do that. And the first question I always like to ask, because you've got so many things to do and you've got so many speakers and exhibits that they can take part in and that they go over and over, what's new in 2015?
Well, I tell you what, we have five brand new speakers that have never been with us before. So these people have all kinds of information going on, along with being at the Mid-America. We always like to talk about the free parking. So when we get to the speakers, we've got Doug Burns, who's a brand new walleye guy. He's an author. He's published over 80 articles on fishing. He's got a book out on 12 days in walleye heaven. And he ranks in the top numbers all the time, you know, in the contests and things like that. And he's going to be there, and he's going to be talking about the Iowa Great Lakes fishing. We got Brian Mellage, who's new this year, and he fishes the Missouri River from Omaha to St. Louis. And he was breaking so many rods. He's got the Modo catfish rod that he's going to be talking about, plus all of his exciting things, and has video on some of his big catfish, you know, out of the Missouri. And Hutch Hutchison, who fishes Lake Oahe and Lake Sharp, is going to be there. And he's going to be talking about fishing and pheasant hunting and duck and goose hunting in South Dakota in his area. We've got Steve Reese, Top Dog Gun Dog Kennels, Top Gun Dog Kennels. New guy, he's got everything that he wants to talk about on nutrition of dogs and things like that. We got Ben Garver, who fishes Nebraska, and he's got the latest tips on high-tech electronics. And Rod Brogahagen is going to be back from Ontario. He's going to be talking. He's got 35 years of experience in hunting and fishing and bear hunting and archery, and he's going to be talking about what he does. And a new gentleman, Nelson Redenkoop from Saskatchewan, is going to be there talking about fishing and bear hunting in his area of Canada. So all of these guys are new, and if they want the specific times, we tell them to go to RiverCityExpo.com. I'm going to say that again, RiverCityExpo.com, and they can get all the specific times, all the speakers that are going on. And then we need to talk about kids and family.
Tom Hamilton's with us from the River City Hunting, Fishing, RV, and Boat Expo. This is going on January 16th through the 18th on the Friday from 4 to 9, all day Saturday 9 to 6, and virtually all day Sunday from 10 to 4. We're going to give you a chance when we finish talking with Tom to win some tickets to the Expo. And that is one of the great things. You're not just walking into the huge Mid-America Center and looking at thousands of dollars worth of hunting and fishing trips or big RVs and boats, and that's all there. There's a lot of fun for the kids.
Well, this is why we plan this for the family. You know, if mom wants to stay downstairs and look at the arts and the crafts and the boats and all that, and if mom wants to go upstairs, we upstairs this year, our second year, for a gigantic gun show. Marv Krause puts this on. We've got over 220 tables upstairs, and, I mean, you could spend hours up there. 220 tables, that's about 8 hours worth of looking. If you really want to go to the gun show, find the latest shotguns, pistols, revolvers, centerfire rifles. It's all there, plus all of the latest gadgets, the knives, the bags, you know, the latest gadget you need to sharpen your knife, scopes, red dot sights, all of those types of things. The big thing we like to talk about, this is a family event. Mid-America is stroller friendly, and we keep the price for kids 15 and under is $3. You can afford to bring the neighbor kid for $3. You know, get them off the couch, get them outside, bring them to this event. And I want to tell you right now, we have over 30 resorts that are going to be there. And we called up the Lake of the Woods, my son and I, a week ago, and we couldn't get in to where we wanted to be. So I'm telling people that this is the time to come and talk to these resort owners. You know, people like Terry Colton of Scenic Point, people like Northern Lights. And we stress and we really look, John Dalton and I and Judy, we all look and try and find the family-owned resorts, great beaches, great accommodations. And this is the time to come and get those reservations in, because we were disappointed. We couldn't get into the place we wanted to. They're already full. So this is the great time to come in and talk to these resorts, talk to the owners, you know, plan your vacation, get the boat, you know, all of those types of things. And so we've got lots of free things. We've got the Daisy BB gun shoot's going to be there. The archery is going to be there. All kinds of activities. We've got the trout fishing pound, catch and release, catch and eat. You know, all of these things. And if they come on Sunday, the trout rodeo is at 3 o'clock on Sunday, and you catch all the fish by hand. We had a kid fall in a couple years ago. Catch the fish. And if you want to see fish fly, man, 3 o'clock on Sunday is the time to be there.
I can only imagine. Tommy, we were joking that some of our friends are not having the success that they had hoped, the ice fishing. You got any insight on how things are going in this part of the world for the fishermen and hunters out there?
I tell you what, you come to this event, and just with these speakers, I mean, we've got nationally ranked speakers here. And so if you want to catch the inside on how to go fishing and how to catch this species or what's the hottest lure, you know, this is the place to be for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 16th, 17th, and 18th.
It's the River City Hunting, Fishing, RV, and Boat Expo. You can see it all. You can do it all. If you don't win tickets from us, it's just $9 to go. And as Tom said, 15 and under for the kids. It's just $3. The Mid-America Center right across the river there in Council Bluffs, Iowa. Free parking. It is a great, great event. And put on by the Pottawatomie County Pheasants Forever chapter. And it keeps getting bigger and better. Tom,
bigger and better every year. And we recommend people go to rivercityexpo.com. I'm going to say it again, rivercityexpo.com. They go to that website. There's a little present there for them when they go to that website as well.
Tom, you do such a great job in promoting the event, and I don't know that I've ever really got a chance to ask you. You kind of mentioned a couple of places that you like. What's your favorite thing to do as an outdoorsman?
Well, you can't get much better than upland game bird shooting. I love to go quail hunting and pheasant hunting and things like this. But I tell you, one of the neat things is when I go fishing with my son and my grandkids, you just can't beat that. And so this is the time to come, you know, whether you go for a day, and we have all kinds where you can do day fishing around this area with guides around this area. And with those discretionary dollars, when you have a guide, you're going to catch fish, you know, and if you work at it, you're going to catch fish. And the same way, we really look for doing things with families, with kids. And if you come to this event, we've really scoured the Midwest, you know, for family-oriented resorts and family fun. And this whole thing is predicated around the family.
From the professional to the novice, there's something for everybody. Tom, anything that we didn't touch on?
Well, we're even going to have the shelter dogs there. So if you wanted to adopt a dog, we have a couple of different shelter things going on. And we could do another 15 minutes on this, on everything that's going on, you know, the boats, the RVs, the resorts, the dogs, the crafts, the guns. You know, it's all there. You know, take the family, bring the family, spend the whole day.
Tom, it is always great to chat with you, and we will send a ton of folks your way next weekend. And hopefully it's going, I know it will be, because it's always a great event. So keep up the good work.
You bet. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Tom. Tom Hamilton joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio, the River City Hunting, Fishing, RV, and Boat Expo. And it is going on January 16th, 17th, and 18th. That is next weekend, not this weekend, but next weekend at the Mid-America Center down in Omaha. Even some of the Class A teams might have some hoops down that way next weekend. Just saying.
Yeah. Hey, Doug, I thought you and I both asked good questions and kept this guy going, did we?
I can't. You're less of an outdoorsman than me, aren't you?
Hey, you know what?
Is okay.
If somebody's listening to a show and is a bear hunter, I would like to know how much money it costs for like a bear license. You know, I might take that up. Yeah, I'm retired now. And I might.
It won't be for very long.
I'm thinking about maybe, you know what I mean, going out, you know, and see if I can get a bear.
I think it's the license. It's what you do if you get the bear and what it costs to go get the bear.
And what if the bear has like two cubs and she's walking around?
Come on, man.
You get what I mean? I mean, I'd be a little scared of that.
Come on, man.
Oh, let's be honest about that. A bear. I'd like to know, though, how much money is it for a bear license?
People love it.
Somebody's going to call in.
People, they're probably your personal phone.
There you go.
We're going to take a break, but as we go to break, let's give away a few family four-packs to the River City Hunting, Fishing, RV, and Boat Expo. If you want to go, we have plenty of tickets, and we want to make sure that we don't have any set in here in a couple of weeks. So let's give away three or four family four-packs here for being with us on this first Monday. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. We'll give you a family four-pack to the River City Hunting, Fishing, RV, and Boat Expo. Call now, and we'll be back to wrap things up on a Monday after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Super Shine Auto Care. We clean the out of your car. It's our 30th anniversary. We've brought back our unlimited wash. For $19.95 a month, you can keep your car super clean with our soft cloth auto wash. We hand scrub the bugs and hand dry your vehicle for that finished touch. Not only that, but you can use our vacuums for free when you wash your vehicle. Also try our auto detailing and Mobile One Lube Express. Look for us online at supershineautocare.com.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares. OneRocky.com.
Tonight on Compass Media Network's coverage of NCAA basketball, it's a newborn rivalry in the ACC as Notre Dame visits North Carolina. Hi, I'm Drew Bonadelli. Join Rick Mahorn and me for all the action as Jerry and Grant and the potent Fighting Irish look to make an early ACC statement against Kennedy Meeks and the Tar Heels. Notre Dame, North Carolina from Chapel Hill. If it's NCAA basketball, it's right here.
Tip off tonight at 6 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Many more still calling in right now, getting family four packs to the outstanding River City Hunting, Fishing, RV, and Boat Expo going on next weekend. So we've got that going on, and it's just been a jam-packed show here today. Tomorrow, we're going to talk a little basketball. We may. We're efforting Emily Cady, Nebraska women. The men play tonight against Iowa. Got a lot more hoppers in the fire. The new basketball rankings are coming out. You've kind of got everything put together now through the holiday season, and there's some teams that are doing some good things out there locally, and we're going to be catching up with a few of their coaches throughout the week as well, Jimmy. So the holidays are now behind us, NFL playoffs, the national championship, but we'll really be able to kind of concentrate on what's going on in the high school scene here as we're, you know, a month and a half, 2 months away from the postseason. But this is kind of the fun time. You got about a month, then into conference, then we'll be into the districts.
Yeah, you're right. And like you said, there's some local teams out there that are doing well. Hey, you know, congratulations to the Kearney High girls who won that the GNAC conference. You know, the GNAC holiday tournament, yeah. I guess, you know, with the eight teams. That was a good win for them, and 3-0 in that tournament.
And people are back to school today and to work.
Are they really?
Since we've been doing it during the off season.
Yeah, that gets a good point.
They love going back. Rex Burkhead, boy, I wish they would have utilized him a little bit more. Cincinnati yesterday looked horrible in the second half, and there's another team beat up by the injuries, and Cincinnati just wasn't going to keep up with the Colts. I thought Cincinnati healthy would be able to give almost anybody in that AFC, and they'd already beat Denver a kind of a run for their money. So my Super Bowl pick will not come to fruition here in 2014/15,
you know,
because I had Seattle over Cincinnati.
If Cincinnati and Baltimore, both of them were beat up on the offensive defensive lines, I think, a little bit. You know, they went with a lot of backup players. I mean, I was surprised when I heard, like, you know, I don't follow it, I guess, as much as I should, the offensive linemen, you know, and the defensive linemen. But I was surprised how many guys were beat up and all year long for both teams. And maybe if they can get healthy, you know, Baltimore maybe play New England tough. Who knows?
all the spreads are out, and I didn't pull them up right in front of me, but they're between 6.5, and then Seattle's favored somewhere between 10 and 11, depending on what happened on the line this morning. I looked at them last night. So all of them are about a touchdown or more. And here is your schedule, just in case you don't have it right at your fingertips. Saturday, the first game at 3:35, Baltimore at New England, followed by Carolina at Seattle at 7:15. The Sunday doubleheader begins at noon, Dallas at Green Bay, Indianapolis at Denver at 3:40. Again, those will all be right here on ESPN Radio. As we said, Nebraska men's basketball at Iowa tonight. Hawkeyes are 10-4, knocked off Ohio State in their first conference game. Huskers 8-5 after losing to Indiana. You can hear it on the Breeze 94.5. It's also on the Big Ten Network. Nebraska women probably going to tumble down the rankings after their 0-2 start in conference. They look solid for a half, but Maryland just had way too many talented players, more than Nebraska had in the second half. They rolled it 75-47. The Huskers will be at Michigan State Thursday. Connor Baronic has just been named the MIAA Men's Basketball Player of the Week. The 17 points, 16 rebounds, two free throws with 14 seconds to go as they beat Central Missouri. And Central Missouri had a few shots there at the end, Jimmy.
Yes, it was a very exciting game. What happened was UNK was down two, made one free throw, and there was 47 seconds. So they were Central Missouri used the shot clock down to about 12. You know, was all they could do. There, 12. Then the horn was going to go off. But they ended up shooting with about 16, and Connor got the rebound, and they fouled him on the rebound. And that's how he went down to the other end and made those two free throws, give him the 1-point lead. Like you said, they had three shots at it. And I thought maybe the second one, I was kind of glad they didn't call foul.
And then, of course, they're home tonight against Missouri Western, 537-30. Hastings College split with Dakota Wesleyan. The men hit 12 three-pointers, shot 56% to beat the Broncos, 94-67. Jamie Van Kirk had 33 in the women's 79-75 victory. They'll host Nebraska Wesleyan coming up on Wednesday. A look at those updated boys' basketball rankings. Omaha Creighton Prep, this is according to the World Herald. I expect the girls will be out tomorrow. Creighton Prep's number one in B. Gretna's number one. Adams Central is ninth. They bounce back and forth between B and C1. They're in B. Aurora is 10th in C1. Chadron. Now, they beat Scotts Bluff, and they're 7-2, but they've got Chadron number one. Grand Island Central Catholic is fifth. C2, St. Cecilia is up to number one, replacing Fremont Bergen. Southern Valley is eighth. Clearwater Orchard's number one in D1, with Amherst eighth, Deschler ninth. And in D2, Bancroft Rosalie, who wasn't ranked to start the year, is number one. And then you've got Wilcox Hildreth, number 10, off to a 10-0 start.
Doug, when you got that real quick, North Platte St. Pat's, where were they ranked in there? Did you happen to notice that?
They come into the rankings fifth in C2. Lincoln had them ninth in the preseason.
Okay.
So in wrestling, we have UNK finishing and doing well at Midland over the weekend, 7 in the finals. Grand Island went 2-4 at the Clash. They will have that duel before Nebraska on Friday, 5 o'clock at the Devaney Center against Staley, Missouri. Then Nebraska will duel Purdue. Nebraska finished 4th at the Southern Scuffle in Chattanooga with Robert Kokish and James Green coming away as champions. Time for our Midtown Mart cooler question to wrap up the day. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. How many teams do you think should be in the college football playoffs? We gave you about four choices, but 73% of you like the way it is this first year with four. 27% said, hey, let's bump it up to 8. Which team will win the AFC divisional playoff game between the Ravens and Patriots? Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. ESPNSuperstation.com. Jimmy, Baltimore got a chance here?
I just don't think so. I mean, it looks to me like the home teams, really the only team that I can think is maybe the Cowboys going into Green Bay. If Green Bay's not as healthy as you think they might be, I think Dallas could go in there. That was a good comeback win. Sometimes those comeback wins help you out. So if there's anybody I think that could win, it would be Dallas on the road.
Let's hope so. Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. We want to thank Sean Callahan, Mike Babcock, Steve Sipple for being our Husker Roundtable today. Again, if you missed any of it, go to our podcast brought to you by Cunningham's at ESPNSuperstation.com. Also to Tom Hamilton of the River City Hunting, Fishing, RV, and Boat Expo going out at the Mid-America Center in Council Bluffs next weekend, the 16th through the 18th. You can check that out as well. And we'll be giving you more chances throughout the week to win win tickets to the Expo. Tomorrow, we've got a lot more to talk about as well. We've got a lot of basketball talk that we're going to be jumping into. As we said, hopefully a chance to catch up with the Huskers, Emily, Katie. They'll be on the road this weekend for a pair of games and see if they can get into the win column. We've got some high school coaches that we're hooking up with as well as we get close to getting the college kids back. Go out and watch the basketball or listen to it tonight on our...
You've been listening to a Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!
Our network of stations, Notre Dame, North Carolina, here on ESPN. Jimmy, Happy New Year, buddy.
Stay warm.